So from last night, I've already given that drawing away because the Waskowski family brought, and that whole clan brought a bunch of visitors yesterday. So they had not only invited a lot of people, they brought a lot. So today, how many of you had known about us coming and you invited somebody? Say, I invited somebody to today's service. Just raise your hand if you said, I invited somebody that normally wouldn't come. You invited somebody? Praise the Lord. Oh, and he came. Praise the Lord. Well, you're the only one to raise your hand. I did this in Sunday school about our regions of mission work, from our doorstep to the regions beyond our culture and then also beyond our control. And that's the big sea of life in between. What we're going to do and what we're doing is when things get out of your control, you can still be a witness. So that's the Sunday school drawing. And I want to give it to that fellow who invited one and got him to come. How about that? So you can have this drawing. If you'll put this around it. So we spray these with hairspray, and then we give them away. They're just like a poster. You can cut the edges off, you can put them in a poster frame, or you can just hang it up like it is. And something to remember the drawing, and then this is a care sheet with a nice little gospel message on it. So God bless you. All right. So over the years, we do probably about 200 of these a year. I've done thousands. I've given them all away. In my house, there's probably less than half a dozen drawings, and they're just scrap ones that nobody wanted. Or practice, I don't do a lot of that. But I do give them all away. So we're going to give this one away. But I'm going to let the preacher figure out how to give that away next week. You come back next week, you have to be here to get it. And the preacher can do that, or you can hang it up in the church somewhere. So that'll be your contribution. So our family travels full-time. My wife, my daughter Sarah, who's on the very back seat in the whole church, as far back as you can get. She's 15, and we have another daughter that's 20 at home in college working, thank the Lord. And so we travel year-round with our mission work. And we live from love offerings, mission support, because we do a lot of things that aren't able to give back to us. So we are missionaries to America and beyond, around the world. If we can't get there in our RV, I'll take a plane every now and then and go around the world in other countries. So if we go everywhere we're invited, I encourage you to go by our table. I don't know if the pastor, there's a love offering box here with our name on it, but our table has little recommendation cards. If you want to say recommend us to another church or a mission or some other place, a camp, a Bible school, and bookmarks, prayer cards, and a prayer letter if you want to read more about what we're doing. So check out those things. As we sing and enjoy the service and the chalk art, it's all about really the Bible. So I want you to turn in your Bibles. We're going to go to several places in the Bible. So some of our messages and many of them are out of one chapter or one paragraph, but not today. We're going to start off in Song of Solomon chapter 2 today. And then we're going to jump off from there to several other scriptures. And once you see the drawing, you'll understand why. And then we'll end up in the gospel and the gospels today. So we'll start there, but we're going to sing a couple songs and start the drawing. And I want you to think about how God has been faithful through all these years. He's faithful. I love that saying that Corrie ten Boom, our eternal security depends on God's faithfulness. And I love that. And it certainly is comforting.
After all this time, I'm nothing but grateful. At every turn I find, He's been good, He's been kind, He's been nothing but faithful. Faithful after all this time. After all this time, I'm nothing but grateful. At every turn I find, He's been good, He's been kind, He's been nothing but faithful, faithful after all this time.
I didn't know much, but I knew enough to know I needed the grace that Jesus gives. He saved my soul all those years ago, and still my story is.
After all this time, I'm nothing but grateful. At every turn
good I find. He's been good, he's been kind, he's been nothing but faithful, faithful after all this time.
Gonna be days when the goodness of the Lord is like a summer rain coming down. I'll give him praise for the goodness as it pours like showers of blessing all around.
But there's gonna be days when trouble's at the door and it's looking like it's come to stay. But I'm gonna get through by the power of the Lord, and looking back I'll say,
after all this time, I'm nothing but grateful, and every turn I find. He's been good, he's been kind, he's been nothing but faithful, faithful after all.
After all this time,
I'm nothing but grateful, and every turn I find. He's been good, he's been kind, he's been nothing but faithful, faithful after all this time. Faithful after all this time.
Praise the Lord, he is faithful.
So when we think about God's faithfulness, sometimes we're not so grateful, but he's faithful to save us, to keep us, to give us the Spirit and the Bible. All of those things are a blessing, regardless of our circumstances.
We think that life, it should always be fair, but we make a mistake when we try to compare.
So God is concerned about what we need, but there's more than what's here, there's eternity.
The grass is not greener on the other man's side since the Garden of Eden, that's been Satan's lie.
We need to confess how much we've been blessed.
We need to thank God. We need to thank God for all that we have. The cross, the word, and the blood of the Lamb. A Savior who prays, a Spirit who saves, sealing us until redemption day. A Heavenly Father who cares for our needs. Provider of all the gifts we receive. I don't know about you, but friend, I believe we need to thank God.
And then life happens, and you get a phone call or a flat tire, and somebody sideswipes your car. You don't know what to do. You still need to thank God.
The evil swim in an ocean of gain, while the righteous drown in a river of pain.
And sometimes it seems that God doesn't care that the wicked get wealthy while his people despair.
But there's an appointment that all men must keep. Those who sow without God won't like what they reap.
When we consider their end and the wages of sin,
we need to thank God. We need to thank God for all that we have. The cross, the word, and the blood of the Lamb. A Savior who prays, a Spirit who saves, healing us until redemption day. A Heavenly Father who cares for our needs. Provider of all the gifts we receive. I don't know about you, but friend, I believe we need to thank God. A Heavenly Father who cares for our needs. The writer of all the gifts we receive. I don't about you. And I believe we need to thank God.
Amen.
Are perfect. We've all failed the Lord. We struggle with our failures and we need to be restored. The voice of condemnation says you've crossed God's final line, but there's no place so dark His light of mercy cannot find. You'll never be beyond His mercy. You can't go that far. The cross will bridge the distance to anywhere you are. It doesn't matter where you have fallen. The love of God can heal your scars. You'll never be beyond His mercy. No, you can't go that far. God sent His Son Jesus to cover every sin. So there's no one so hopeless that His grace can't bring back in. His blood can reach the secret place where unforgiveness reigns. The message of the cross can reach the farthest one away. You'll never be beyond His mercy. You can't go that far. The cross will bridge the distance to anywhere you are. It doesn't matter where you have fallen. The love of God can heal your scars. You'll never be beyond His mercy. No, you can't go that far. Doesn't matter where you have fallen, the love of God can heal your scars. You'll never be beyond His mercy, no, you can't go that far. You'll never be beyond His mercy, no, you can't go that far.
So my parents, my dad and his parents and grandparents and great and great great grandparents were all from West Virginia in the southwest of Blue Ridge Mountains, the Appalachian Mountains. My great grandfather moved to Florida when he got older, and my granddad and grandma would go down to visit. They'd get up about North Carolina and see the mountains, and grandma would say, "Oh, it is so good to see the mountains again." And granddad would say, because he was about 10 years older than Grandma, he said, "It's awfully hard to climb up those mountains." And there's a different perspective on mountains, isn't there? When you think about it, it is harder when you see a bunch of mountains, and this is kind of our view as we go back home. We see a bunch of mountains, but they're harder to climb. The gas mileage is lower when you're in the mountains. And when you're looking at them, you're thinking, how pretty. Unless you're down in a valley and have to get to the next mountain. And then it's harder. And that's what my granddad remembered. The old trucks and the horses. I mean, he remembers back that far. I had my great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather were circuit-riding preachers in the mountains of West Virginia. And actually crossed paths with people like Sheffy, that famous. I mean, that's who they were. And they were riding horses. through those mountains. But you know how I like to see the mountains is really through the window. That's my best view. It's just looking out through a window. We have, that's what our window overlooks, the Blue Ridge Mountains. And so I like to look out those big glass windows and say, that's the mountains that I like. But I don't like to climb around in them anymore. I used to when I was a kid. You know, you'd go up two or three mountains. You'd have complete freedom to do that. Now, when you go to Solomon, where we are, Solomon chapter 2. And this is really a foreshadowing of Jesus. This Solomon and his beloved, this relationship. But in Solomon 2, the rose of Sharon, I'm the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. Now, the lily of the valleys. There's a lot of beauty. There's a lot of beauty in the desert. When I was down in the canyons, and it was so dry, and as they're in a drought, there's so little water. But every time I walk outside, every day I would take a picture of a different flower. Now, some of them were tiny. I would get down on, you don't get on your knees because everything prickles and sticks, you know. But you get close with that camera and take a picture of beautiful flowers in the desert, in the valley, where it can be hard to climb out, hard to get across, but the lily of the valleys. That is who Jesus is. The rose of Sharon, this comforting, and that word lily, it comes from a Hebrew word that means to brighten up or to be cheerful or to make joyful. That is the word that Solomon used in relationship with a lover to the beloved, who Jesus is our lily of the valleys. He is our rose of Sharon. So we look at the valleys and think of all the hardships, as my granddad did. My grandmother, she would tell that, and she would say, he looked at the bad side. I looked at the beauty. Sometimes we get through life and we see problems. We say, oh, I have to get there. I would have to do this and this and go over here. And we see challenges. My professor who taught me how to do chalk art, he said, there are no problems. He said, there are challenges for you to meet, opportunities for God to work. He said, look at it by faith. But often we don't. We see life, it's going to be hard. My grandmother, she lived to be almost 94, and she said, Dwight, this is hard. You have to be courageous to get old. She said, I have AIDS. And she said, I'm only 87, and I have AIDS. I have walking AIDS, seeing AIDS, hearing AIDS, every kind of AIDS you could get, she had it. And she said, it's ridiculous. Hard. But she just kept going. She said, I went over one New Year's Day and I said, if you had something else to do at 92 years old, what would you do, Grandma? She said, I'd like to go back to England. So I went home and told Ann, and Ann said, well, take her. So I took her. She was blind, her knees were bad, but she could hold on to my arm and walk. And we went to England, and in the middle of the winter, in March over there, and we had a wonderful time. She said, I can't see, but I can sure talk to people and hear. Her mother was from Wales. And we got to meet a group of Welsh Christians. God just ordered our steps. Here's the thing. She saw the bright side of everything. She found the good in people. They could be in jail and she'd find something good about them. She loved the gospel. She loved the ministry. And so here, he is the lily of my valleys, a bright, joyful spot in our life. So yeah, you're going to have to, and I'm going to have to cross some valleys. We've got to go through some challenges. But Jesus is the lily of our valleys. And so a lily, we don't grow flowers. Flowers die in our home because we're not there. We'll start things and they'll die because we're not there to water. My other daughter, she might remember once a week to water something, but that would be it. She's wonderful, but she's not going to remember that. So what we might get is a lily might live, because lilies have a unique characteristic. They're bulbous, so they don't require water. They can drink water. And you can put a whole bowl full of water, they'll just drink it when they need it. So that's helpful. And they grow pretty fast, and we tend to have lilies. Whether it's in a bowl or outside around my pond, I have a little pond that I try to keep perpetually going. And that lily, man, it'll grow because it's got some storage to it. It can take a lot. Well, Christians, what do we have in our hearts? We have the Holy Spirit that indwells us, the very Spirit of God, our pipeline to heaven, if you will, that Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, waterless. You're not going to be in a spiritual drought. He told that woman at the well, I'll give you a well of water that will be springing up from within you that you will not thirst. So God doesn't forget about us. He's faithful to us. And when the Bible says he's the lily of our valleys, it's talking about a sustaining presence of beauty and brightness that can cheer us and give us joy in the times when we don't think we should have it. That's the lily. And so that bulbous plant that is so good to grow for when we're not faithful, God is faithful. And that lily will come up, and my mother, I gave her one because I thought, well, we are going to be gone for a while. But she put it in her window, and before we left, it wasn't a week and a half, and that thing was this tall and had a big bloom on it. They're so cheerful because they are so, they're out there, and they say, this is happiness. That's the lily of the valleys. An experience that challenges our faith can be brightened by the lily of the valley, Jesus. So I want to ask you some valleys. Maybe we go through valleys every day called a valley of decision. Making decisions. It's hard to make decisions. And when I was a kid, I'd listen. I was a listener. I'd go to all the neighbors and listen, ask their opinions on things. And these little widow ladies and widowers, and I'd listen. When I had to make a decision, it was hard. Because I thought, well, this person has an opinion, this person thinks one way, and I would just think and think valleys of decisions. I didn't want to have to make decisions. Now I figured out you just make a decision where just go forward. Just quit stalling and get it done. I get tired of waiting for somebody to make decisions, but lilies are just growing. They're not waiting to see, is it a drought? Is it? They're just growing. And I like these little desert flowers that just keep on growing. So we might come in our life to a valley of decision. Look with me in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is not unfamiliar. When I start saying this, it's like this could be the, I have friends, this could be their life verse, several of them. Because I like to make friends with people who follow the Lord. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. What are your ways? You're making decisions every day. Ask the Lord about it. Lord, what should I do here? Pray about your decisions. When we put it in the Lord's hands and acknowledge him in all our ways, if you're going to buy a car, pray about that. Ask the Lord, direct me in this decision. If you're going to make an investment, if you're going to look for a job, if you're thinking about whatever it is in life, ask the Lord to direct you in that. Thinking about education, thinking about opportunities. Lord, what is your way? Acknowledge that he is a part of our valley of decision, and it won't be so scary. Remember, he's the lily of our valleys? Because in decisions, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct thy paths. So that decision just became out of my hands and went into the Lord's hands, didn't it? I like that. That I don't have to worry so much about my decisions. I did ask one time, a youth director, when I was growing up, I was worried about what to do for college. What if I'm not in the will of God? And what if I don't get it right? What if I go to the wrong college? He said, Dwight, he was in his truck, he pushed on the clutch and the truck started rolling. He said, if that truck's not rolling forward, I can't steer it. But when it's rolling forward, I can steer it. If you just move forward, trusting the Lord, giving him first place in your life, if you get to the wrong college, won't he put up a stop sign and direct you to another one? And then you get over there and he'll direct you to another one. Well, that advice kind of made my life look like this for a little while. Because I kept going to this place and that place. But eventually I ended up in Bible college where really God wanted me. And all those things he worked together for good, but I was acknowledging he was a part of my decision making. Took the pressure off of me. He was the lily of my valley. So when I made a decision, I wasn't worried about whether it was right or wrong. I just said, Lord, I acknowledge you in this. I'm trusting you to direct my paths. And sometimes he'll say, well, stop here, turn here, go over here. But he directed my paths to put me where I am today. He'll direct your paths. You might go to this job or make this decision and you say, well, that didn't work out, but God is working in it because you've acknowledged him. And that's the Bible promise. If we acknowledge him in our decisions, we go forward, he'll direct our paths. That's a great assurance. Sometimes, and you've all been here where you get down and out, let's just call it what it is. You get discouraged. It's depression. You get down and out and you say, woe is me. I feel terrible. I've done this and that. Nothing's working out. And you just start having a pity party. And we'll just call it a valley of depression, whether it lasts a day or a year. And there are times when it lasts a long time and it's clinical depression and it becomes physical depression and your body hurts. You know the Cymbalta commercial, everything hurts and everything goes wrong. And if we get in that kind of a valley, there, you know, there's a scripture for that, Psalm chapter 3, verse 1. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 3. David was in that kind of a valley. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? David, running from his son Absalom, his own son had put out a death warrant, a bounty on his daddy's head. This is the king of Israel. This is God's anointed king. And he said, Lord, how did I get in this spot where so many people are against me? They're trying to murder me. I've been run out of my own city that you put me in. And David is depressed. And he says, how did I get here? How are they increased that trouble me? Look at the end of that. But thou, O Lord, art the lifter up of mine head. When you get to verse 3, thou art the lifter up of mine head. So when you get down, we have put our faith in Christ as our Savior. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sin. He was buried. He rose again. And he is the lifter up of our head. I don't have to worry about my eternal soul. It's in the hands of the Lord. It's his faithfulness that holds on to that. And when we are down and discouraged and everything's against us in that valley of depression, you know what? Keep looking to the Lord. Keep looking up. He's there. And he lifts up our head. And we have to go through some valleys, and it hurts sometimes. And people betray us and things. But Jesus is the lifter up of our head. You know, the lily tends to lift when we add water. Yeah, it'll wilt, and that beautiful trumpet will wilt. But then when we add water, what happens? It just lifts up, just like a head lifts up, and it is so pretty. And so when we think about our heads, God adds his water, his love, his word. We keep pouring the word in our life, and he lifts our head out of the valley of depression. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Turn there, flip there, Google that, not out loud. Siri? How many phones are going to turn on now? Hello, Google. Whatever you have to say. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. How about this valley? This was like 2020 in a nutshell, wasn't it? Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, and yet we get bogged down in the valley of fear. Fear. But yet Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And yet we're afraid. Oh, what if I die? What if I get sick? What if so-and-so does this? And what if they... And we get all these fears in our head which shut down this, that, and the other, which said, you can't come into our church. What if you have this? People called me. One pastor put a post on Facebook while I was under a bridge in Nashville that week doing a revival. And I was sitting down on the ground, on the dirt, eating with the people I was feeding. I was eating with them and talking to them and praying with them. He said, unclean, brother, get out. I laughed. My mother called and said, Dwight, you might get COVID. I said, Mom, I'm down here with hepatitis A, B, and C. AIDS, probably a lot of other diseases that I don't want to talk about. And I said, I don't think I'm worried about that. I said, I'm not worried about a cold virus. We didn't get anything. But the fear, this fear that would drive us, and when I knew that Jesus was with me, when I walked back into the dark side of the camp, there was dark. I mean, dark drugs and addictions and gang type act. When I walked back there, I didn't fear because I had Jesus with me, and God saved souls out of there. So that's the fear that we don't need, because we have the Lord Jesus with us, in us, walking beside us, the power of God. So the lily of our valley really becomes this wonderful bright spot in our life, where we're saying, I'm not worried. I'm really thankful for the God who loves, cares for saves me out of my sin, who can give me life and keep me alive as long as he wants me here. And that was Hebrews 13:5. It's a valley of frustration. Boy, I get here sometimes. I am so frustrated with that person. I'm so aggravated, fed up, frustrated with this website, with this program on the computer, frustrated with whatever you're frustrated with. But frustration can be a tool of Satan to get to lose your testimony, to stall you, to stop you. I'm just giving up. I'm not doing it. I'm frustrated, tired of trying. You got to keep trying. You can't give up. You get frustrated when you fail at something two or three times. Keep going. Don't give up. Think what it takes to lead this music. You ought to see this computer thing going back here that's playing all these instruments. Well, the fellow doing that, he was telling me what goes on, this band in a box. Yeah, there you are. This band in a box. His brother. I was looking at his brother. That is so neat to see them all singing up there. I bet that was frustrating to get all that together. But every Sunday, he works to get it right, practices, that praise team practices. We're the benefit of him not giving up on frustration. He learned so he can be a blessing. Well, here's what the Bible says in John 14:27. When you're prevented from accomplishing God's purpose sometimes for frustration, we need to think of this. John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, peace I leave with you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." God's peace, God's ability to work through things with peace, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the believer who accepts Christ into our heart. When you say to God, "I'm a sinner and I can't live this life. I don't have any hope for eternity, but I need your life in me. I believe Jesus died for me, was buried and rose again. I believe that you can live through me." That peace comes into us that moment. That peace helps us to get through life. When you look at those valleys now through a window, we're safe in the arms of Jesus. We're safe already in heaven, waiting to be transported. We're looking at the valleys of this world from a different view, from a picture window. And we're seeing the lily of those valleys that helps us to understand that life can be beautiful if we have the right perspective. And so now we have a valley of shame. Sometimes we feel, "I'm ashamed, I failed, I shouldn't have quit." We get in the valley of shame. Luke 4:18 says, "Jesus was anointed to set at liberty them that are bruised." That word bruised, that's that they've been bruised, beat down, and we're ashamed of it. But Jesus came to set at liberty. Folks, he sets us free from that. I don't have to be ashamed. Hey, I'm a human being. I'm not perfect. You've eaten dinner with me last night, some of you. You've seen our family. You saw Sarah up here barefoot last night. We're just a family. Surprises happen. But we love the Lord, and I'm not perfect. I'm forgiven. We're human beings. I'm not ashamed. If I fail, I say, "Well, that was the human. God has something different. Let's try this again." So we may be bruised, but Jesus came to set us at liberty from that failure, that pattern. He wants us to live in the valley of victory, not the valley of shame. And then the valley of worry. 1 Peter 5:7, you probably know this one. These are verses that are familiar, but you think about the valley of worry. And how many times we wonder if this is going to happen. My mother worries about me. I don't worry about anything because she does all the worrying for me. She worries about the weather, where we're going, worries about the crime, worries about us parking in Walmarts and Lowe's and the side of the road, worries. So I don't worry because she's done it all. She loves the Lord, but she's a worrier. And so 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." We've sat and had tornadoes just fly around half a mile from us, touchdown, set through storms. We can't worry about that stuff. We are where we are. And you're going where you're going. I don't worry. You shouldn't worry. Just say, "Lord Jesus, you help us. You save us." We've huddled down in churches and prayed for the tornadoes to go over us. And they did. And you just say, "Thank you, Lord." Don't worry. Pray. Cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. The valley of worry, hey, you climb up on the hilltop of prayer. So these valleys that we face, fear, worry, frustration, shame, all these things, they are valleys in our life, but Jesus is the lily of our valleys. And so then we come to the valley of sin, and here's where we, this is the stumbling point, sin. This is the place I don't want to get stuck. And it is so easy, and you've seen people get stuck and people fall into the valley of sin. They never get out. That's a problem, isn't it? If they don't come out, I'd rather see somebody struggling with the sin than giving up to it. I don't mind somebody saying, I struggle with alcoholism. Thank you that you struggle with it, that you don't want to give in to it, that you want some. I struggle with this, Pastor. Thank you for struggling with it. Because I meet a lot of people don't want to. Oh, I don't need that. I'm okay. No, you need to be struggling with sin. Proverbs 5:22 describes a difficult valley in this way. I'll give you time to get there so you can see this. Proverbs 5:22. This is a valley that people, you can be in church for 20 years. You can be in church for 10 or 12 or 15 years as a young person. And sin will take you down. You need to struggle. It says his own iniquities, Proverbs 5:22, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. The chains of our sin can hold us down. But I like John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. When you cry out to Jesus, God save me, I need you. God, Jesus Christ, paid the price for sin on the cross. He set you free. If you ever feel like you're struggling with sin and you can't get loose and it's a cord, it's a chain, you cry out, whether you're 10 years old or 100 years old, say, Jesus, help me. And it says he sets us free. That's the freedom from sin. We saw alcoholics, drug addicts, set free from sin. The first man we baptized, he took his belt off, his belt buckle, threw it in a trash bag, emptied his pockets, and he said, those represent my old person, sin, and I don't want to see him again. I said, why'd you put your belt buckle in there? He said, if you had looked at it hard enough, it was a beautiful silver expensive carving of pornography. He said, I don't want to see it. Sin, Jesus set him free, and he was free indeed. So the valley of sin, that's the best one. He's the lily of our valley. He sets us free from sin. So whatever the valley you're facing, and we're going to end up in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. It's not a mystery where we're going here. I think you'll draw the connection. But whatever valley that you're facing in your life, Jesus is the lily of your valley, the bright and morning star, the rose of Sharon. He is the one that brightens and brings joy and freedom from the darkness of those valleys. So I want to write that up here, Matthew, because this is where we're ending. This is the final point, Matthew 6, 26 to 34. So Jesus is talking to his disciples. Behold the fowls of the air. Those birds out there, just flying around, who feeds them? Who feeds those birds? For they sow not, they don't put out gardens, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than those birds? You're better than that. You're the crown of God's creation. God created you in his own image, not the birds. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to a stature? Get a little taller. I can't do it. And why take you thought for raiment, your dress, your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. One lily looks better, has more glory than a king, a rich king. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? How are we going to buy enough clothes? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You know, don't lean under your own understanding. Live by faith, not by fear. All those things we talked about, all the valleys. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And take therefore no thought of the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about the valleys. Stay close to the lily, Jesus. And so when we consider the lilies and the fowls of the air, we think, God can carry me through those times when I worry, when I fear, when I'm frustrated, when I'm depressed. He can carry me and unchain me from sin and set me free unto righteousness by the power of the cross. That's the lily of our valleys. So in considering that, I hope that you'll trust Him in your life and let others see your victory, not your gloom and walking through the valleys, but your victory in getting to the mountaintops.
Consider the lilies, they don't toil nor spin, but there's not a king with more splendor than them. Consider the sparrows, they don't plant nor sow, but they're fed by their Father who watches them grow. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Just consider the lilies, and then you will know. May I introduce you to this friend of mine, who hangs out the stars, tells the sun when to shine. He kisses the flowers each morning with dew, but he's not too busy to care about you. For we have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. And He really cares when your head is bowed low. Just consider the lilies, and then you will know.